Understand that the time, that's the chart I was going to show you. It was Brother Wayne Reynolds' work about a timeline of the different kings of Judah in this case, and where the prophets, his best understanding of where the prophets lay in time, the time of their prophecy. Brother Zephaniah is prophesying in the time of King Josiah. That's the only one that's mentioned. Also there, prophesying with Brother Zephaniah in time. We don't know the length of how long. The prophecy could have been given to these men in one day. Hosea, it seems indeed that it was given over the course of years. Okay, so hard for us to know unless we can find hints in the scripture that tell us about the timeline. We mentioned last time, how was it that the prophecy ultimately made it to the king? How was it that the prophecy ultimately was delivered to the people? How many of the people cared to even find out what the prophecy was? We just don't know. You know, we don't know how that went. But Jeremiah is there prophesying during the time of Zephaniah. We don't know if their time is stretched out from one another or if they overlap. But we know that Jeremiah is there in the days of Josiah and on down. We've read about that. And so there's a possibility of parallel or even one or the other having given a prophecy before the other. Jeremiah could have had prophecy given to him before Zephaniah and vice versa. Hard for us to know. But there's something that Brother Jeremiah mentions and speaks about in Jeremiah chapter 31. And I want us to take a look at this. We touched on it in the book of Ezekiel, which we'll also read about it more there some years ago. It's been some years ago since we went through that book. It's a proverb that's in the land. And the Lord is just getting sick and tired. He's getting sick and tired with excuses. He's getting sick and tired with their proverbs. They're going away. So remember, in Brother Ezekiel's day, they say, "Well, the prophecy's not for yet for a long time off." You know, the Lord's getting sick with their attitudes that are away from Him, hearts that have departed from Him. And so what He said is, "I'm going to give the prophecy today and fulfill it this afternoon." Or tomorrow. I'm going to give the prophecy and it's going to come about right now. And Brother Ezekiel had those that he told. And so the Lord dealt with them. He took the truth to them. He took His power to them to show them that He is God. Beside Him is the none other. And the attitude that we're going to see here in this first chapter of Zephaniah, that He is just, He is holy, and He will work, and He will deliver, and He will hold accountable. And so in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29, the scripture says, let's back up to verse 27. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord." So what a blessed thing that we always hear in regards to the Lord's nation and the Lord's people. Even though there's grievous chastisement, the Lord will lift up and deliver. He will do so. The Lord's always ready to receive the repentant. Always. "In those days, they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge." So a proverb. It's like they joked about it. That their iniquity up against what the Lord has said there that we read last week in the book of Exodus in chapter 20, that the Lord will mete out judgment upon the children of evil and wicked men that hate the Lord under the third and fourth generation. It's like they took that up and they made a funny out of it. They said, yeah, okay, so what if we're disobedient? We've eaten the sour grape, but it's our children. Their teeth is going to be set on edge, not us. Isn't that a desperate, terrible, wicked? I don't have the words to describe how just awful that is. I mean, the fathers have eaten the sour grape. And what the thing is, when you eat something sour, and the effect with people is different. You know, we pucker up when we have something sour. But with some people, their teeth tingle. Okay? There's some foods that we eat that can make a person's teeth tingle. Or just the feeling of the body and the juice of whatever that is being eaten, a sour grape here. The teeth are made able to just really grate on a person as they touch chewing that grape. The fathers eat it, and the children's teeth are set on edge. It's like they joked about it. And the Lord said, that's not going to be anymore. Isn't that something that the Lord, the condition of the nation for this divided kingdom got so that He intervened in the midst of that, to where they joked about, seemingly they joked or they scoffed at that the Lord threatened that He would mete out judgment even upon their children. The Lord said, every man's on his own now. They're not going to use that proverb anymore. In Ezekiel chapter 18, we see the same reference there. Jeremiah is a prophet that's there with Judah before the captivity, during the captivity, and after the captivity. Okay? And then Ezekiel is a prophet that's called unto the captivity in Babylonia. Okay? And so in chapter 18 of Ezekiel, listen what the Lord expounds upon this very thing. And of course, Ezekiel's time is further down the road because Jeremiah, he started his time of his ministry and prophecy before Judah fell, the southern kingdom fell, while they fell and after they fell. Okay, and he had a warning that we're going to take a look at to that part of the nation, or the divided, that part of the divided nation, that kingdom. But Brother Ezekiel, his whole ministry is in captivity after Nebuchadnezzar has taken him away. In Ezekiel 18, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. So, same thing. Still going on. Evidently, it's still their attitude. And remember, it seems to me that Brother Ezekiel, for the most part, he is there ministering to the people that have gone into captivity, and they still don't know why. It's all a big surprise to them. It's kind of like, Lord, help us. I don't want our nation to fail. But it's kind of like if our nation fails, when our nation fails, if we don't turn, certainly we are going to fail. That it'll be that people will look around at each other and say, what happened? Won't have a clue why this has happened. That's who Ezekiel ministered to. And you know, the Lord has given us His word that we might learn to know how to deal with the people and the situation in which we find ourselves living. There's examples in here. He said, what do you mean by this proverb, as I live, saith the Lord? You know, when God starts off at as I live, look out. It's heavy and it's serious. And it's most weighty. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither have lifted up his eyes into the idols of the house of Israel. Pardon me. Oh, man. Neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes. Why is the Lord listing all this stuff out? He's wanting to be very sure that everybody understands about all the sins and the iniquity that the nation, the people, the leadership, the king, his counselors, the governors, the chief men in the tribes that remain, just like up at Israel, we saw about that, right? He wants to make sure everybody understands what sin is and what sin to stay away from, what sin is and what he expects them to stay away from, expects us to stay away from, and thereby no holiness, because they're so run down in understanding, he's got to be just very detailed about what it is that incites his holiness so. Verse 9, hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Obedience. Obedience to what the Lord had given Israel. Now understand, this is not, the Lord's not saying there's a different way of salvation or a new way of salvation. The way the sinners have been saved from Adam is by faith in the Lord, repentance and faith in the Lord. That's the way that the Lord has the way and the answer. That the Lord is salvation. But when the Lord is dealing with people in the nation, he says, I'm looking to have a holy people, a people that's like me, not like the inhabitants of the land. And so he goes down that list and he said, if a man's obedient and obeys, he'll live. Verse 10, if he begat a son that is a robber, a son that is a shedder of blood, and doeth the like to any one of these things that he's listed, and doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon usury, hath taken increase. Shall he then live, the son that has done these things? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. So what's given is a father that is righteous and looks to obey the Lord, and then a son that is totally disobedient and wicked against the things of the Lord. The father's going to stand there before the Lord on his own, and so is the son. There's no transfer. Now, indeed, we know that there is a graciousness and a mercifulness and a long-sufferingness that the Lord extends to children of his children, okay? Children of his children. There is such that he extends to them by virtue of the parents being obedient. But it's not a guarantee into salvation, but it is the way of righteousness that they've been exposed to and brought up, and the shaping of a conscience in the right direction. That is the grace of the Lord indeed. And we We know that the Lord's got to visit with His Spirit and move. But I tell you what, it's better to be near the Word and near the truth and near obedience than not. And the Lord can save out of every condition, can't He? He can save out of the pits of wickedness, or He can save out of the self-righteousness of religion. He can do it. But the Lord, in this thing about the father's eating the grape and the children's teeth set on edge, the father's going to stand alone and the son's going to stand alone. The child is. And listen to what He says going forward. He shall not live, the midst of verse 13. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. He's responsible for himself. Verse 14. Now lo, He said, listen to this. Listen, hear it. If he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done. So he's talking about this son. Now we're down to the grandson, right? If he begat a son that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and considereth, and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mounds, neither hath lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath oppressed any, hath not withholden the pledge, neither hath spoiled by violence, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, and hath taken off his hand from the poor, and hath not received usury or increase, hath executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Obedience. Seeing the iniquity of his father, he's convicted to turn from that and to do well and follow the way of the Lord, follow the example of his grandfather. He'll live. He'll live. It's not going to be that the children are going to pay for the sins of the fathers. And indeed, we know in the way and the aspect of life and in the way of life that parents can put their children at great disadvantage by their actions. And it can be a thing of whatsoever is sown, it's going to be reaped, and sometimes it's reaped by more than just the person that sowed it. So we know the practical thing of that, but then the Lord says, each person is accountable for themselves before me. You'll not use this proverb anymore. As for his father, verse 18, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. And you know, as this is given to the people there that are in captivity with Ezekiel, as this is given to them, they're surprised. Really? But that's what they need to know. They need to know that they stand individually before the Lord, and that they're eating of the sour grape. They're accountable for having done so. He shall die in his iniquity. 19. Yet ye say, why? Why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? Talking about cold heart. So down in the depths of iniquity that you want your child to bear your iniquity? Lord, help us. When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live, the Lord says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. You know, we read that what it says in Exodus chapter 20, that the Lord will visit the iniquity of the fathers on the third to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. But it seems like as we're getting closer to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, the Lord is making a statement You stand on your own before me. And that's from the time with the Lord Jesus coming. John was, what was, and I find that interesting. I want to know more about that, where it says that the ministry of John the Baptist was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, that of the children to the fathers. Every person's responsible. In regards to eternity, every person stands before the Lord. Can't lay it on anybody else, can't blame anybody else. Why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But listen, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. While there's life in the Lord, there's an opportunity for repentance. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. You hear that? Not mentioned? That's sounding like the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away, doesn't it? In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all in that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Do I have pleasure at meting out justice and judgment upon the wicked that will not turn? I think the answer is no. You don't have any pleasure in that. It's necessary. And it's right. But he has no pleasure in it. The Lord loves to be merciful to the repentant. Verse 24, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, let us be warned, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Now I'm going to transfer this to you, children. I'm not going to be able to take it and pass it on down the line. You are responsible before God for you, the Lord is telling them. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? You want your children, you want your child who is innocent in the doing of any of the iniquity and wickedness that you pursue, you want them to bear that for you? And look how it is. Our Lord Jesus bore our sins to Calvary. And he is the spotless one, the innocent one, the sinless one. When a righteous man, verse 26, turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them and dies in that iniquity, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? The Lord said, what animal goes away from its master that feeds him? What What? And he lists some other things there. But you know what? He said, with my nation, they've done exactly that. And accusing the Lord of his mercifulness and in their accountability, our accountability before him. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. And you know how he ends this up? Repent and turn yourselves from your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. The love of sin by the sinner. See, they want their sin. He's dealing with the people that wants their sin more than they want the Lord. They want the wages of iniquity rather than the blessing of their Savior and Lord, their King. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I, because I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God, wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. As an aside, it's a sad thing when we would hear preachers and those that would teach and preach. No doubt you have heard some in times past that the Lord looks to judge sinners and iniquity of people with glee. But he does not. His justice, his holiness, his righteousness demands it. But he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What is it that the Lord Jesus tells us that there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels? What is that? What was it that the Lord Jesus said? Over one sinner that repents. And the mercy of the Lord extended to a sinner, indeed, to show him his wicked way. So here, this proverb that's at hand in the nation, that we're going to see this very thing meted out. Remember, these that are to follow that I showed you on the graphic there, these sons of Josiah that are to follow, that are going to be the final kings and rulers over the course of 23 years at the most, they're going to be found right here in this situation. Brother Zephaniah in Josiah's day prophesies, and he says, it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes. And I believe myself, I'm persuaded myself, I will punish the princes and the king's children. I believe he's speaking directly about Brother Josiah's sons. They are going to be found in that very same place. If they will repent, the Lord will deliver them and help them. If they fight against the Lord and stay and pursue after their iniquity, they will die. And there's something that Brother Jeremiah is given by the Lord in the days of Josiah and the days of these other four men that he tells them to do. God tells them something to do regarding this king that's going to come and rule over them. But they don't obey it. They rest and fight against it. They rest and fight against the judgment and chastisement of the Lord upon Judah. And it costs all of them their life with a little ray, a little shining of blessing in the life of one of them that we'll take a look at. In the midst of man's transgression and sin, God is always good. And so, Lord, being our helper, we'll look to pick that up next time, but we needed to lay this groundwork first. If you're here and you're not saved, You need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We point you to Him. He's a wonderful Savior. Indeed, He's the only Savior that there is. He's the Savior that can forgive you of your sins. Jesus said that. He's the forgiver of sins. They quarreled with Him about it. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Yeah, that's right. God can forgive sins. The Son can forgive sins. Nobody can condemn a sinner saved by the Lord Jesus Christ because it's Christ that died. It's the Lord that justifies. And so if you're not saved, repent and believe and trust in Him. Receive Him. Go to Him. And for we as the Lord's children, may we walk with our Lord in a way that He'd be pleased. May the Lord help us that we would fill up on what He says in His Word, that it would be there hidden in our hearts, as the psalmist said, so we'd not sin against Him. Don't take up ideas that the world or that we would come up with. May the Lord help us that we not justify our sin or our way. That's what these were doing. They said, well, it'll be put off on our children. We won't have to bear it. No, the Lord's way is the way that we all need. May we follow after it.